This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Will Buss.
I'm Rajvi Subramanian.
Reporters Without Borders has released its latest World Press Freedom Index, the group called Journalism, the Main Vaccine Against Misinformation. However, that vaccine is not getting through in many parts of the world. The organization says journalism is totally blocked or seriously impeded in 73 countries and constrained in 59 others, which together represents 73% of the countries evaluated. The top-ranked countries for press freedom are Norway, Finland, Sweden, Denmark, and Costa Rica. The U.S. is not in the top five. In fact, it's not even in the top 40. The U.S. is ranked 44th on the list. The report said the index data reflect a dramatic deterioration in people's access to information and an increase in obstacles to news coverage, with the COVID-19 pandemic frequently used as an excuse to block access to information. Have either of you seen instances of that, or have you experienced that yourself with COVID-19 being used as an excuse to not provide information?
I mean, that's interesting. I haven't personally, I've heard about it having occurred elsewhere.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's, it's impeded how we get the news out as far as having students on campus in our newsroom. I think that's certainly affected us, and we're trying to hopefully emerge, and hopefully we'll be emerging from that in the fall. And I'm talking to students about being ready because the university intends to do that. But no, I've not personally as far as getting news. I think just having our students on the ground and being able to get out there. We've had to even quarantine because of the instances of infection that have occurred. So I think that's been a bigger impediment for us.
That's kind of how the school year started for you, didn't it?
Yes.
With several, including the editor, being
yes.
quarantined for a while at the Western Courier.
That's right. We had about a good 2 or 3 weeks in, and we had to quarantine for about another 2 or 3 weeks because of that. And so we had to suspend the program for a while. And it wasn't because of one person, it was because several, and because a lot of these students were, even though they were social distancing and masking and taking the precautions that they needed to, because they're in the same room, we had to quarantine them, and they had to be quarantined in their living spaces, their dorms, and so forth elsewhere on campus. So we had to take those precautions. So that's how to answer that question, how that affected us, at least in the student media and the student print, student newspaper.
See, just to reflect on what you just mentioned, Rich. See, 2/3 of the entire globe is the place. It's a, is the amount of stuff that where journalism is completely restricted. That's a pretty big number, yeah. And again, the World Press Freedom Index, they compile this on a regular basis just to show how journalism is, working across the globe. And again, this is a pretty grim situation where it's very difficult to give the truth and the right information to the public, because as you can see, a lot of governments are pretty much using this for their own welfare, especially countries where there is completely authoritarian regime, where they want to completely clamp down in terms of how the information flows from the top to the masses. So again, this is pretty much evident in the Asia Pacific region, especially in countries like Malaysia and Asia. And in fact, in Malaysia, they recently announced that any fake news publication can be considered a criminal offense, and you can be arrested or even fined. But at the same time, what happens is it also gives the government an extra power where they can clamp down any publication that is writing or publishing content against the government. So again, this is a kind of a double-edged sword where people can, be persecuted for writing anything against the government. So that's the kind of situation that we are looking at. And especially, I would argue that China is pretty much setting the standard in terms of how they are implementing, the internet censorship or surveillance or even propaganda to an extent that pretty much every country around the world are just, copying how China is clamping down. Imagine China is the world's the most populated country in the entire world, and there people are not even able to express their ideas freely. For instance, what happened in Oscars a couple of days back? We had the first woman of color, Chloe Zhao, who got an award, but they made sure her name never gets mentioned in any of the posts. And what people did, they came up with a unique way. Instead of telling or using her name, they started using that girl. So what I'm trying to tell you is people are finding some ways to publish content to evade policing by the government. And again, the journalists are also trying their best, because journalists cannot function properly when they have to work under so much of pressure, where you can be arrested, persecuted, or even killed. And this is a very good list where we can say where we are standing. And again, you mentioned United States is number 44, which is again a shame, because this is supposed to be a country where you freedom of press and you are able to express everything, without any problem. But still, U.S. is ranking at number 44, and that's not a pretty good number, I think.
No, it's not. And I was going to ask about that. I suppose some of that would be the presidential administration that just ended a few months ago may play a part in that low ranking. But we still see, even on the local level, where governments try to hide information or try to prevent people from gaining access to information they should be able to get.
And we see this recently with voter controls and things of that nature. We've seen those issues arise just in recent history. Yes, I'm surprised that the U.S. ranks as low as they do, and I'm not surprised about how many countries don't enjoy or have a free press technically as we do. But because we rank so low in this country, it's especially disconcerting. And I'm wondering, specifically why. I can come to our own conclusions, as we just talked about, and say what kind of information is available that's out there and what kind of influences are out there now that there are, by digital means, there's so many ways to influence people and influence their mindsets and to misinform them and to influence them to think that actually the genuine factual information is misinformation. And so we have that going on, and so much working against us that I think people are truly not informed as they should be about what's going on and why we don't have a better grip on this. It's very troubling. I'd like us to try to figure this out.
But again, one of the things that was pointed out in the report was, many leaders, political heads in Brazil and Venezuela and some parts of Africa, they were actually backing some, remedies for COVID-19, eat this, drink that. And again, in those kind of situations, I think the journalist played a very important role to highlight the fact that all these had lacked scientific support. And I think that was pointed out in the report, saying that the journalists were able to counter some of this, information which these so-called leaders were promoting that could harm the people's health. I think that was a pretty good thing. And also, I wanted to point out about the fact that it's happening in India. We think, India is, a pretty good country where journalists are doing this and that. But the government is actually dictating the tech companies like Twitter and other social media companies to take down any kind of content that is anti-government sentiment. Because you all know that India is now a COVID-19 hotspot, and a lot of government critics and journalists and people are so furious about how the leaders handle the situation. And all these posts were apparently taken down on Twitter because the Indian government did not want that. So again, all the things that we need to keep in mind, the governments are trying to be in power and are using all that within their control to make sure the information does not go against their own welfare. Even though the fact is, the truth is something that the journalists are trying to get across to the people, but there are always forces behind that they don't want that information that can actually tarnish the image of the government. So that's what is happening across the world. And all this World Press Freedom Index and all this, it gives us a sense of satisfaction. At least there are countries in the world where Norway, Sweden, and Denmark are actually on top. But that doesn't mean they're doing a good job. Even though they're saying they're at the number one or the top five positions, even though journalists there have also pointed out there are some serious, you know, situations in terms of how the journalists are not also able to operate in a very free manner. So again, it's not that the numbers are reflective of what they're doing. Even the top countries are still far behind in terms of how journalists can do their work without any problem.
I don't believe that any country is probably in a prime situation or has figured everything out, though I'm not surprised by countries maybe like Denmark, where they have superior education, educational systems and so forth, because of the direct attention they pay to it. What really concerns me is how this country, I think, and I don't know where the United States stood in previous studies or surveys, but I'm concerned that it seems like we've regressed, and I think we've seen it, right? I think we've seen how people, their general faith or belief or trust in media or the press is come under scrutiny and question, as it always should, but to a level that it has never been before. And there is a lot of damage that has been done in recent history that I think this reflects. And again, when we have a free press and a media that is responsible for informing, but people can't distinguish between what is truly fake or what is truly trying to sway you to one way toward the other, which is factually giving you the facts and the truth and information to help you lead your life and make informed decisions as a citizenry, then again, this is another reflection of that problem that we've been seeing build here for the last 3, 4, 5 years. And so this should be another cautionary tale or another sign about how people need to, you know, learn and know who they're really taking their cues from in their news. Media literacy, once again, is a topic that we continue to talk about. And I think this is just another example of that and how we need that.
Yeah, I think the problem even dates back more than just 3, 4, or 5 years.
True.
When you see the number of adults who have their belief system and will believe nothing else, even when presented with the facts. And that's a deep-rooted problem.
And I believe they've always existed. I think, though, it's been heightened and amplified.
Yeah.
I think by the way that people can be influenced and reached digitally with their handheld devices, et cetera.
All right. We need to wrap up the discussion for this week. Our listeners can join us again next week here at TSPR.org for more of Shop Talk.